Well, I feel like I've been doing a lot of talking this last week. But I feel like the Lord has given me one last little inspiration for folks here. Over in Matthew, the 11th chapter, very familiar scripture, 28th verse says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." That is an invitation.
Yes, it is.
We're kind of careful, me and my wife, about being invited. Especially with our children will come sometimes and say, "We want to go to somebody's house, or they're doing something, we're going to do that." And a lot of times we'll say, "Are you invited? Was you invited?" And yeah, they was invited. Like one of their little companions invite them. No, that ain't good enough. Does the one that owned the place, did they invite you? Are you supposed to be there? And it's a courtesy. It's not infringing on something that's not mine or a place that's not mine. It's a courtesy of places, and we're kind of, it's rude. It's rude to go into places that you're not invited. It wouldn't be proper to go to some places that I'm not invited to go in there. But Jesus is inviting.
Yes, he is.
He's inviting. Now, Brother Ron back here last night, he told me, he said, "If you're ever coming through here," he said, "ever coming through here," he said, "you got a place to stay if you need one." Anytime, he said, ever. Whether he knows it or not, he gave me a perpetual invitation.
Yeah.
It had no boundaries on it. He didn't say, "Brother Marty, we're going to have dinner tomorrow evening. Come over about 4 o'clock and and then by 6 you can leave. 4 to 6 and you're invited." But he gave me an open-ended, Brother Ron, open-ended invitation that said, "Anytime you come through here, I'm going to take that, Brother Ron. You don't know what crazy hours I travel. I've been out in the 2, 3, 4 o'clock, these highways, or at least 40. So I remember being on 40 and up on 44 and 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning." But he didn't say that. He said, anytime you're out there.
I got his home number too.
He said, "You got a place to stay anytime."
You seen the doghouse, didn't you?
I saw it. Yeah, it's heated and everything. But he gave me an invitation. So I can say, I got an invitation there. The Lord said, "Come unto me." All. You can come. We had a week's meeting here, and I hope the Lord blesses it. Not only for the hour that it was preached, but I hope the message is perpetual. But I want you to know something. The invitation that the Lord made is perpetual.
That's right.
It's not for the moment that the message goes forth. The Lord's invitation is one to you perpetually. When Jesus was on the cross and he said, "It's finished," he meant the plan of salvation was secured. And it's open. And this invitation to where the Lord says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," is an open-ended, perpetual invitation to your soul's need anytime that you have need of it. Any weight that gets too big, any labor that becomes too much, any place that you can't handle or help, don't matter how big, how small, what the circumstances is, the Lord has given us a perpetual invitation to come unto Him for anything that we need. You don't have to wait that somebody say this or something happen or that. You can go unto the Lord. But here is, I want to try to make this clear, and I know you have to give me a little liberty here. But the invitation is perpetual. But your mind may not be. You may feel a strong need right now to get help of the Lord. But if you don't get that, it isn't God's fault.
No.
And the invitation will stand, but you won't desire the invitation. You may not feel like you feel right now. Or you may not feel touched by the what's happened or the things. We don't control. You know there's things that's outside of our control. You may be very tender now. Maybe youth are here. Maybe young people here. You may not always feel about God like you do now.
That's right.
If you don't take advantage of the opportunity given, it's not that the invitation is gone. It's that your feelings towards it may go.
Right.
You may be hungry, and you may be ready for that meal. I may come by, I may need a place from Brother Ron's, but I may not always feel that need. I may not always be tired when I come by. I may not always be hungry when the meal's set. So, but the Lord wants this to be in our minds, that this invitation is for you. It's for all that labor and are heavy laden. It's an open invitation. The Lord has made that. Over in... Well, I'll ask this question. Anybody know where the story of Nicodemus is found? Third chapter of John. You know, that's kind of easy to remember. You know, probably the most famous scripture in the Bible, well, you know what it is? Most quoted? For God so loved the world that He gave His own. You know who He told that? Nicodemus. That's why that's kind of easy for me to remember, because the Lord told Nicodemus that. So in the third chapter of John, I'd like to pick up that thought right there. In the third chapter it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that Thou doest except God be with him. Oh, Nicodemus. Have a lot of thought about old Nicodemus. A ruler of the Jews. But yet Nicodemus had something in his heart crying out. Or I read it into that. Nicodemus was a person in a position of power and influence. He was in a place where he had peers around him of great influence in his world. And he was one of them. And yet he wasn't willing to just throw that away. But something cried out in him of a time and a position that he was willing to risk some element of that to go. And the Scripture says that he come to Jesus, but he done it by night. He didn't want the other people seeing him do this. He didn't want to have to answer the questions for all that it might mean in his life. It might mean that somebody would say, what do you think you're doing? How are you going to give an explanation for your stand? What did you ask him? What did you want to know? Do you know this man is trying to tear down the law? Don't you know this man is trying to destroy our way of life? But yet with all of that, Nicodemus had something crying out in him of truth. Nicodemus recognized something that they all should have recognized. That this is of God. But they didn't. And Nicodemus did, but he's caught in a world. And you know, I felt sorry for the position that he was in, because he's kind of caught between two things here. And he don't know what to do with them. Because he looked at this and said, Master, Rabbi, Master. No man. I'm not deceived with this. Master, I know this from scriptural truth. No man can do the miracles that you do unless God be with you. I don't care what they say or anybody else says. Nobody can do what you're doing unless God be with you. There's just no way. Do you know part of my experience in living for the Lord? I've seen some of this take place in my day and time, to where we'll have a tent meeting like this and saints will come, and the Lord somehow knows how to touch people's heart, and He touches the song. And the singing will go forth and it'll have life in it. We can sing these songs. There's all kinds of songs. You can sing these songs and them be dead. But the Lord puts life to them. It's different when they're sung and you feel the inspiration of them. Isn't that right? I've known people to sing and I'll say, oh, they're talented. I've heard talented people. There's people that is much more musical, and I got all these things. I listen to it and saying it even entertains somewhat when there's no life in it. Right. I've known people that don't get all the notes right and feel God in it all the way through. He puts life into it. And I have a meeting like that and the Lord start working and put life into it. And I set up sometimes so I can notice the congregation and look back and see somebody sitting back in the back and see the look on their face and see the tear come down the corner of their eye and them kind of brush it away. And then I have the opportunity many times to be able to come up into this till I can see the face of the congregation before me and the Lord have a message. It ain't got nothing to do with this old hillbilly and what he can do or just say. And the Lord start doing and he'll breathe on it and give it life. And I've noticed before that I'd be preaching and all of a sudden sometimes I don't even know why. And I'll look and somebody will be over here wiping. And somebody else will be dropping their head down and kind of getting a look on their face. And somebody else will be doing that. And the Lord's starting to work and starting to touch hearts by His Spirit and working with them. And all of a sudden they're sitting there saying, God's all over this place. Amen. God's everywhere here. God's anointing and blessing. And after they might say, Lord, did the Lord bless that? And they go out and they get in their car. And they drive away and never see them again. Where do they go? Where do they go? What happens? We've dealt with people like this, and I mean, notice over time that after a while they may sit there. They may start counting the cost a little bit, but after a while they go away. I want you to know something today. The invitation still holds. This invitation hasn't wore out.
Amen.
They wore out. The invitation is as strong today as what it was when Jesus said, come unto me. And He does everything that He can to bring that to pass, that people's loads are felt, the weight of their sins, the weight of what they're doing is felt, the emotion of it is felt. God works with their heart, deals with their heart. They're there sitting. I'm not a mind reader, but I see what the Lord does through His Spirit sometimes, and sometimes I know that their life's messed up. I know that guy and that girl back there are contemplating divorce. I know what they're doing, and they're sitting back there, and the Lord's touching them, and their heart's being touched, and they're being moved at a certain point, and they're this close to the solutions of their life. And come unto me is proclaimed.
Yes.
And with tears and with sobbing, and they'll even say to the preacher as they shake his hand as they go out, and they'll say, oh, I really appreciate the message. That's good. You got to do more than appreciate it.
That's right.
It was at home one time, and I had this lady had come out at the service, and she called me up after one Sunday night, and she said, I want to tell you something. She said, I really appreciated the day's service. And I said, well, thank the Lord. And thank you for saying so. I'm glad that you enjoyed it. She said, oh, I never enjoyed it. I just said I appreciated it. Well, I'm glad she appreciated it. But she didn't do anything about it. She's worse off this some 15 years later than she was at that phone call. Appreciate means I put value to it. How much value do you put to it is what you do with it. Of what you hear, of what God wants to do for you. What the Lord sent this week, the Lord, it's perpetually open to you. Do something with it. You can't say last week's messages are gone. The highway, all the things that was mentioned, it's open. It's still open today. It's not gone. The invitation of the Lord is there. Nicodemus came with all the opposition that he knew in his life. He had a struggle between two lives, two things that was struggling in his mind. The way he was raised, the way it had always been, the things he was taught, those standards, those ways of life that I've always lived, they was there. And then there was this new, God's doing something. How can you say that He's not? Nobody can do the miracles unless... Nobody can deal with hearts like this is being dealt with. Nobody can touch the lame, the halt, the blind, the deaf. No one can do that. And not only that, the devils are being cast out. Men are being freed. People are starting to say, I'm sorry. Their life's being changed. They're starting to live right, work right. They're starting to seek God in the right way. So God's doing something here. Lord, help me not to miss the opportunity that's been presented to me. You know, He made it's open. You can come and dine today. You can come tomorrow. You can come next week. As long as you got life, you got opportunity. It's an open-ended invitation to you. You're coming by? Come. You got a need? Come. You have a disappointment? Come. You got heartache in your life? Come. You got weights? Come. Come, I'm open-ended, night or day. Wake up in the middle of the night with stress and heartache. Come, middle of the night. Brother Evansman, in the middle of the night. Anytime, my door is open. Come. Come. Oh, please the Lord, come to this. And He said, I'll give you rest. You shall find rest. And to your soul, you can come anytime, any place, any opportunity. Oh, but sometimes there's such struggles. What would it look like? What does it mean for me? You know what happens a lot of times? People will look at this life at a glance, at the initial, at the Lord's blessings, at all those things, and they'll say, fantastic. Absolutely, abnormally fantastic. God is blessing so much. And then they say, what do I have to do to be like these people? You mean I got to do that? You mean you all don't do this? You mean you all don't go there? You all don't watch what? I just love those phone calls that calls up and says, we got a great deal on satellite TV. What kind of TV service what do you have? And I'll say, well, I don't even have a TV to hook it up to. And I don't mind saying it. I don't have nothing to... And they'll almost always say, you don't. No, I don't. It's going to do what? You know, we have an invitation, though, to come when you get into that kind of place. Open invitation. So here's Nicodemus. Let's look into it a little bit more. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I had said unto you, thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Somehow, in all of his years of being religious, he missed the important things.
Yes.
I think there was an honesty in Nicodemus, but I think the system swallowed him up. And he became a robot, if you will, and to the established way of doing things. And never considered what it was all about or from the beginning was all about. There was those that understood it, was able to grasp it and understand it. But Nicodemus wasn't one of them. And he was saying, now how can this be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I had told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that cometh down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Wow. What an idea. You mean that I can be saved? Yeah, I'm giving you an invitation.
Amen.
I'm giving you an invitation. That's whosoever believeth. Come. Now you know this is taken from the time that Moses was in the wilderness. I think we mentioned that in this meeting. There's out there and he got into a land of fiery serpents. And they was biting the people and the people was dying. God, Moses goes to the Lord with the petition to say, we need you to help us, Lord. And so the Lord gave him a remedy for the situation. And what it was to take a brazen serpent and put it on a pole and lift it up. And then when he said, anyone that gets bitten by these fiery serpents, these poisonous, deadly serpents, all they had to do was come and look upon this image and they would be cured, they'd be healed. And he likens this the same way. It was a type. Sin was the problem, and there's the antidote. A serpent. Serpent problem, serpent on the pole. And the same thing. Jesus took on himself the sins of the world. The scripture says he became sin for us. When he was hanging there, he was taking all on him. The remedy, that the Son of Man be lifted up, Nicodemus. You don't understand? A ruler in Israel that you don't understand from the foundation of the world, I died to make an invitation for people to come. You can come, Nicodemus. You can be born again. You can have the curse of this sin-sick world erased out of your life. Because I'm about to take it. I'm going to take your sins on myself that you can have an invitation perpetually to come. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world. You ever hear that before? Nicodemus. Nicodemus was the man that got to hear those words fresh from the mouth of the Lord. Could you imagine standing right before the Lord and this passage of Scripture told to you. You know why he got the great privilege of hearing this scripture? Because he came. I'm going to say, folks, if you have to come in the middle of the night, come. If things has hit you so hard in life, and there's things about your life and those kind of things, you just bring it on. If you've got to do it in that kind of way, you come on. The Lord wants you to come. And old Nicodemus come, and he got to hear these words. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that He, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now there's more to the story of Nicodemus. Jesus went on and was crucified. And they took him. And there was a man named Joseph. And Nicodemus. And Nicodemus. This same Nicodemus that came by night, that heard these words, was inspired and influenced by these words and by the life of Christ. There was a time that he came in the dark. Folks, if you got to come in the dark, you come in the dark. God ain't going to leave you in the dark. And there's going to be a time that you're going to come out of there and you're going to square up your shoulders and you're going to say, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what the Jews say. I don't care where they go or what they do. I'm living for Jesus. You took Him, you crucified Him, the Son of God. And there was Nicodemus in broad daylight. They must have wondered, what happened to old Nicodemus? And I think old Nicodemus had something to tell them. I think he told many of them. And this, you give me the liberty, but it's the way I see it. I think there would have naturally been people questioned him. They do me all the time. And they would have him. What do you think you're doing? And I think old Nicodemus could squarely look them in the eyes and say, you know what? There was a day that I snuck in the middle of the night to see this man. And the words that he told me and the power he told me with it has changed my life. You should go too. This religion we got ain't working. It ain't working. It don't do what this man came to do. And then he was changed. He was different. And now he goes on openly. It's recorded that he was a part of his burial. He was a part of it and he didn't hide it any longer. The invitation that Jesus had given was for Nicodemus. And when he didn't come, it's always there. And it'll be there for you too. It really will be. I remember times in my life that I was backwards about things. I remember that and the Lord is so loving. He's so loving. I remember when times when I didn't want to face things and I wouldn't do things. I remember when times that I didn't want to face anything. I remember when I didn't want to pray out. It was so embarrassing for me to pray out or say anything publicly. I can remember when I couldn't hardly stand up in my seat and say anything. It was so embarrassing for me to try to speak and I just didn't want to do it. And somebody would say, would you offer thanks? And it was like, oh, why did you ask me? I have right here in front of people and I have to say something. It was usually like, Lord, help us, and Lord, have mercy on us. Whatever it was, a little low tone and all this. Those things change. Yeah. After you've met the Lord in the middle of the night, after the Lord's come and blessed you and made it real to you, after a while you can stand up and say, thank the Lord! Yeah. Thank the Lord! And then you can get into a place that even gets bolder and somebody will say, well, it's time to eat. There's the restaurant. Brother Marty, would you like to have prayer? Yes, I would. I'd like to have prayer, and it's no more of this. It's, oh, Father, thank you today that you give us life. Thank you that we can be gathered here. You don't really care anymore what people are thinking out there. Why? Because I come to the Lord, and He's spoken life to me, just like He did Nicodemus. He said to him, for God, Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Look at Nicodemus right in the eye. You, Nicodemus. I'm dying for you, Nicodemus. God loves you, Nicodemus. Oh, what power there must have been in that. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. The real analogy of that scripture is of a traveler that's weighted down with his bundles. And he's packing his bundles. And the invitation is rest. And let me carry your bundle. That's this invitation. You want rid of that? You come and let me carry it. I heard the story one time of a traveler that had a great heavy load. And a guy comes along in a wagon and says, "Would you like to have a lift?" And he accepted the lift. And he got up in the wagon with his load on his back. And he rode for many miles and looked and said, "Brother, why don't you lay your pack down?" That's the way people do it many times. "I want to live for the Lord. I want to do that. But I'll carry my own bundle. Thank you very much, Lord. I'll carry this all." You know, the Lord's giving you an invitation today to carry that for you.
Amen.
He'll carry your heartaches. He'll carry the things that you have in your life that really upset you. You can turn it over to the Lord because He cares for you.
That's right.
He can do that. Brother Ed Wilson told a story of India, to where went over there, and a lot of folks over there, maybe Brother Doug's even seen some of this, but they carry a lot of their bundles on their head. Very efficient way to carry it. And so somebody got the thinking, but you know, they could do a lot better if they had a wheelbarrow. And so, you know, it'd be a lot better to carry their load. So they got them some wheelbarrows so they could wheel their stuff around. And they introduced them to it and showed it how they do it and all that. And they left and they come back. And the next time they come back, they said that they had put all their stuff in the wheelbarrow and then put the wheelbarrow up on top of their head. And they was going along with the wheelbarrow up on top of their head, carrying it around. Because that's what they was always used to doing. Carrying it on the head. Can't break my habit. That's the way I do it. Nothing else comes along that ever does it. God's got a better way than this old law. He's got a better way than your old thinking. Got a better way than the world does it. He's going to introduce something to you. But many people can't get beyond this Nicodemus experience because this is what I am. And God's got something to what He really wants you to be. Oh, Nicodemus, I'm so glad the story of Nicodemus is in the Bible and that Nicodemus got out of the old patterns of what he was and was able to allow the Lord to give him the experience that he now, as being an elder in Israel, could explain with fervent desire the plan of salvation. Now he can say, "I know what it means to be born again." No, a man can't enter again into his mother's womb. But yes, he's born again of the Spirit inside of him. Life comes anew, and not life is not like the world has, but a new life. The thief come to kill and to steal and destroy. But I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's and right. So there's an invitation for life.
Amen.
There is an invitation today to that breath of inspiration of God. Now, back when God created Adam, He took the dust of the earth and He made out of clay a man. But he wasn't alive. But He got down and blew into him the breath of life. That word is inspiration. He inspired him. He gave him life. He blew into him. I don't know about the other preachers, but I know what I do when I'm seeking the Lord for a message. I'm not looking for content. I'm not looking for what I know about people. I'm not trying to make it timely for the time. I'm looking for inspiration to my heart. That's what I'm looking for. I know it, and there is times when I'm seeking the Lord, and a word will come, or a sentence will come, or a thought will come, and it comes with life, inspiration. I feel it. I know it. It's alive in me. I feel it. I know. That's my inspiration. You know, the Lord has invited you and I to His inspiration.
Amen.
He wants to inspire your life. You may not be a minister, but you need some inspiration.
That's right.
You need some inspiration to live the day with. Yeah, isn't it better to be inspired for the day? Have some inspiration of the Lord about your life? God has invited us to His inspiration.
That's right.
It's sometimes just a scripture away. All it is is a giving of myself a little bit to the Lord, and oh, here can come an inspiration. I got these inspirations years before I ever started preaching. I'd be driving down the road, coming or going from work, middle of the night sometimes. I'd preach for an hour sometimes, going home. I wasn't even a preacher. Inspiration would just get on me and it'd just be rolling. All this stuff from the Lord, Scripture's just coming to me. Oh, it was beautiful. It was inspiration. You know, He's invited us to come and get inspired. Maybe you all don't ever get discouraged. Do you? Yeah, I do too. There's an invitation that's standing.
That's right.
David, one time, do you remember when David had left and when he come back, that the Philistines, I think it was, had come in and took the women and the children and all the stuff and took off with it? And his men turns around, I can just see him, turns around and, what kind of leader is this? Has us off out there and come back and the wife's gone and the children's packed off. They said, get the stones. We're going to stone us a leader for this. Not turning against him. You know what it said David did? He encouraged himself in the Lord.
Got off by himself.
And it says he encouraged himself in the Lord.
That's right.
He focused. Purpose. He came. The invitation was open. The doors are open to God. And He came. Come. All that. Come. And He came. And the Lord said, okay, David, got some inspiration for you. Pursue. Go get your men and pursue. And I'm going to give you back everything they took.
Amen.
You pursue. And he goes back. He goes back different. Now, it's contagious. He had been with the Lord. He went back and, drop your stones, guys. Drop your keep them for the Philistines. Let's go. I talked to the Lord. The Lord said, go get them. And I'm going, and off they went. Went and got it all and brought it back. Inspiration. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. For every trial of life, the door's open. He's available. You know, we can take advantage of that today. Take advantage of it in your life. One little last inspiration of the tent meeting. Remember this. He's got His arms like this.
That's right.
Remember in your, what do you say, mind's eye, see Jesus on the cross with His arms outstretched saying, come unto me.
Yes.
All ye that labor and are heavy laden. In every situation of life, you have that great privilege and opportunity. And don't substitute anything for it. I knew a young lady one time that had told me that the Lord had convicted her about her smoking and she quit. And then sometime later, I was back talking to her again and she was smoking. And I was razzing her a little bit and say, you think He forgot? You think the Lord changed His mind about this? And anyway, we was talking about it, and she says, I know you say there's, you know, that it's not good for your body, and we're the holy, temple of the Holy Ghost, and all that. But she says, you do a lot of things harmful to your body, and you eat, and that went through this, and I said, no, yeah, all right. I said, and I believe all that too, but I said, let me tell you where the greater problem's at. I said, what do you do when you hear bad news or you get discouraged? What do you do? I get a cigarette.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, you do. You know what you should do? You should go to the Lord. And I said, you have replaced the Lord with a cigarette. He wants you to go to Him, and you go to a habit. You go to nicotine to calm yourself. Does it calm you? Oh, yeah, it keeps me calm. Calms me back down. Uh-huh. You've just swapped. She said, you don't think so. And I said, I think so. You've just sold off the Lord for a nicotine habit. Because the Lord wants us in our moments, in our times, to find Him. The reality of our life, to find God. He says, come unto me, and you go to a nicotine habit. It calms you for a time, and the Lord's got eternal bliss for you and blessings. So today, remember, the Lord loves you and has invited you to come. Amen.